What's going on, guys? On today's pod, we're going to go ahead and talk about the week the Trumps got started off to, the Democratic memo release, and what's going on with the Supreme Court's decision on DACA. So let's go. Welcome to Excuse My Politics, presented by Bad News Media. It is February 27th. Hope you all had a great weekend. It was an interesting one from a politics standpoint and a policy standpoint. The Democrats finally got to release their memo in a rebuttal to David Nunes, which we'll get to a little bit later in this pod. We saw the raging debate over gun control continuing on, where the political winds are starting to shift in our favor. Polling came out that looks great for us. Gun owners are starting to shift towards our direction to get better gun control in place. The majority of Americans, upwards of 70%, believe that we should have stronger gun laws and more gun control. So there's great political wind shifts on that, but we need to keep hammering home the points. We need to keep this as a thing of debate in this country, especially with the midterm elections coming up this November. There are some primary elections already kicking off. So this is an issue we need to keep up in front so that we use the political capital we're building with the nation, because this is something where, you know, polls can shift. If we lose focus on this, they can revert back to where they were. So let's use the polling of America. Let's use the goodwill of the American people and really start to hammer home these points. Keep our politicians responsible and accountable on this. We'll keep pushing forward. But I want to start the pod with the Trump family, the Kardashians of our government. And they gave us some very interesting sound bites to kick off the week. We start with draft dodging Donald, who, while speaking about the Parkland shootings, said, "I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon." Yeah, okay, Mr. Bone Spurs. I don't think dodging Donald is going anywhere near the courage that would have to take place to confront a gunman like that. He had his opportunity to face live fire when this country called on him to serve. He decided that 5 deferments would be his solution to that, and he's the kind of guy who I could very well see trampling over people on the way out to the exits instead of running into the line of fire. His daughter also had an interesting week, to say the least. While in South Korea acting as the U.S. representative and briefing South Korea on North Korean sanctions, she had this clip from an interview with NBC.
"Do you believe your father's accusers?"
I think it's a pretty inappropriate question to ask a daughter if she believes the accusers of her father when he's affirmatively stated that there's no truth to it. I don't think that's a question you would ask many other daughters. I believe my father. I know my father. So I think I have that right as a daughter believe my father.
Yeah, in no way was this an inappropriate question to ask a senior policy advisor to the president whether she believes the accusations against the president. Now, what I do think is pretty inappropriate is that you have an office in the White House and have literally nothing on your resume that should allow that to be a thing. I think it's inappropriate that you brief South Korea on North Korea sanctions, given you have no experience in foreign policy or have shown any signs of understanding the complexities surrounding the escalated issues in North Korea, never mind the full security clearance that you should have to access the kind of information you would need to give a proper briefing. I think it's pretty inappropriate to invite Bill Clinton's accusers to a debate in which they are sat in front of Chelsea and Hillary as a way to punish them for, as if they have any control over the fact that Bill Clinton can't keep his hands to himself. I think all of that is pretty inappropriate. What I don't find inappropriate is asking a taxpayer-paid policy advisor to the president, who has an office not far from the Oval Office and is the formal U.S. representative at the Olympics, whether they believe the accusers of the president. And Ivanka could totally be right about saying, I'm the president's daughter, and that's an inappropriate question. And it'd be totally fine if she was just being the president's daughter. But she has chosen to interject herself into politics and be a representative of the United States and help make policy decisions. So no, she doesn't get to claim the daughter card on this. It's a perfectly, perfectly reasonable question. This whole scenario just hammer homes the point that what is happening in the Trump administration and allowing family members whose only real skills are the ability to market a Trump name should not be serving in official capacity and especially as policy advisors and debriefing South Korean president on the sanctions that the U.S. is about to impose on North Korea. This is all inappropriate. It's inappropriate that Jared Kushner, who can't get a full security clearance because of the potential to be blackmailed and has millions of dollars in debt to foreign agency, is in charge of Middle East peace and has access to some of our most sensitive information. I mean, this is why we came up with nepotism laws in the 1960s. The only problem was, in all their infinite wisdom in Congress, they never foresaw the monster that is Donald Trump and the fact that this would spread into the White House. Our nepotism laws only cover government agencies. So Donald Trump can't appoint Ivanka to be Treasury Secretary, but he can appoint her to be a senior policy advisor and get paid taxpayer money to help make policy decisions. So that's all wildly inappropriate, but the question is not inappropriate. And that was my rant for the day. We got a little good news, though, from the Supreme Court this week, who decided not to hear the case about ending the DACA program, which is great. This is a huge relief momentarily for our fight in getting Dreamers protection in this country. Now, we should by no means count this as a victory, though, because at any point an appellate court could overturn the lower court's rulings that basically says that we cannot not allow renewals on March 5th. So this is only a temporary relief, and Congress still needs to come up with a solution. And this November, we need to make sure we vote people into office that are going to follow through on protecting the Dreamers. But this is a great relief. I do want to play the clip under Donald Trump's analysis of this. So go ahead, Donald. What do you think about the Supreme Court decision?
Speaking of that, DACA is going to be put back into the Ninth Circuit. You know, we tried to get it moved quickly because we'd like to help DACA. I think everybody in this room wants to help with DACA. But the Supreme Court just ruled that it has to go through the normal channel, so it's going back in.
By help, he means turn down about 6 different proposals and prematurely end DACA, making an arbitrary date of March 5th so that he could deport them back to their birth nations. Not keep them in the country that they have fought to make their own and who should make every American proud of the idea that these children have fought to make this the country of their home and to be a productive member of the American dream. But Donald Trump is in no way looking to help Dreamers. He is actively at this point basically trying to deport them by turning down deal after deal. So this is something that is a good win, though, for us as far as getting some temporary relief. We still need to keep up the calls. We still need to keep up the pressure. And in November, we need to elect officials who are actually going to put a permanent solution in place because we cannot rely on Donald Trump or the Republican Party to fix this problem. Now, the Democrats got to do something that's very exciting, and that is finally release the rebuttal to the Devin Nunes memo. Now, this is exciting for really one reason and one reason only. It absolutely shuts down every argument that the Republicans have produced to date about this investigation into Russian interference with our elections and into the ongoing investigation into what involvement the Trump campaign, if any, played in that interference. There's a couple things that the Schiff memos does. Adam Schiff is basically playing the role of daycare supervisor over the Republicans on this committee and trying to rein them in their absolute abuse of power. But this memo points out a couple big things. The first big thing in the memo is that the memo makes clear that the Steele dossier didn't make it to the FBI counterintelligence team investigating Russian interference until mid-September. That would have been more than 7 weeks after the FBI opened its investigation. So the Steele dossier, once again, we have definitive proof, and we already knew this ahead of time, but this memo states it in writing, that the FBI investigation was already ongoing and that the Steele dossier was not what initiated this. And it didn't even come into play until 7 weeks after the investigation started. The second biggest thing I picked up from this was the FBI was able to collaborate parts of the Russian dossier. So this salacious dossier that had things like a P-tape in it, and God, do I hope there's a P-tape out there. You know, if you have it, please send me an email. I will gladly release that. The FBI was able to collaborate some parts of the dossier. So some parts of the dossier backed up information that the FBI either already had or was able to gather later in their investigation. We don't know what parts it was able to collaborate because that was redacted, but it seems that those parts have been backed up because of other evidence. The third thing to take away from this memo was that the DOJ did not mislead the FISA application in court about Fusion GSP's political motivations. The memo says that the Justice Department appropriately upheld its longstanding practice of protecting U.S. citizens' information by purposely not unmasking U.S. person and entity names. The FBI speculates that the identified U.S. persons, meaning Fusion GSP, or GPS, I apologize, co-founder Glenn Simpson, was likely looking for information that could be used to discredit candidate one campaign, referring to then Trump's campaign. So they did make it clear that this was a politically motivated piece of information. They didn't say specifically who, but they did let the court know in their application that this was politically motivated, which is the central part of the Republican argument that the court was misled over the political nature of the dossier. The fourth big thing, the feds collected valuable intelligence from Carter Page. So we already kind of knew this because of the re-ups of the FISA warrant by Republican judges, by the way. But the memo makes it clear that there was valuable intelligence collected on Carter Page. The court-approved surveillance of Page allowed FBI to collect valuable intelligence, the memo says. So what did we learn, or what did the feds learn, basically? Well, those sections are also redacted. But there are key phrases that appear in the unredacted sections, such as repeatedly contact and contradicted his sworn testimony to the Intelligence Committee. So those are big. The other big thing was the FBI had opened numerous sub-inquiries into the Trump's campaign associates. So the memo alleges that the FBI has opened multiple inquiries into Trump's campaign, as well as Carter Page and other individuals like Paul Manafort, we now know, and Rick Gates, which would have continued even if the Steele dossier was never received. So the memo makes it a big point that the Steele dossier would have, if we had never received the Steele dossier, the FBI, that the investigation still would have taken place. What does all this mean? Well, this basically means that the GOP is currently a danger to America and its national security. Because at best, the Republican and Nunes complaint now stands as, while the FBI and DOJ told the court that Steele had likely been hired by people and individuals who were looking to discredit the Trump campaign, it committed wrongdoing because it didn't say exactly who those people were that paid for it. Which, people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, the heads of their party, know is not unreasonable given the Justice Department's longstanding practice of protecting U.S. citizens' information by purposely not unmasking U.S. persons and entity names, as it states in the Democratic rebuttal. So the GOP leaders like Paul Ryan knew that these allegations were false, that David Nunes' memo basically states, and even the Nunes memo contradicts itself within his own memo, because the man didn't take the time to read the information that this memo was based off of or the footnotes in the investigation. but it also speaks to the idea that Paul Ryan allowed the release of the Devin Nunes memo ahead of the Democrats' memo, knowing that the information in that memo quite possibly was false, all to hurt the FBI, DOJ, and America in order to protect Trump and the Republican Party from a Russia investigation that is looking more and more like serious foul play was at hand. This is insane. Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are now complicit in my mind of obstructing this investigation. This is getting into some seriously dangerous waters. We have been attacked by a Russian adversary, all for the purposes of furthering Russia's objectives and creating chaos in the U.S. elections. And they're going to try it again. We know this because NSA Chief Mike Rogers went in front of Congress today and told them that Russia will do this again because they have not paid a political price sufficient enough to change their behavior, and that the President of the United States has not ordered him to disrupt Russia's cyber threats where they originate. Let that sit in for a second. The President of the United States has not directed the NSA chief to do anything about Russia's Russian interference in our elections and the attacks that Russia carried out on our electoral system. And this is putting this country in great jeopardy, all for Donald Trump and the Republican Party. Because what Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan are doing is they are allowing people like Devin Nunes to obstruct this investigation. They are pulling resources away. They are allowing people to spin absolute bullshit as if it was truth. And this is bad news for us as a country. And if we want to take this seriously, we need to vote every single one of these people off. We need to give the Republican Party a timeout because they are no longer responsible enough to handle matters of national security like this. So what are we going to do about this? If you're mad about this, you're going to get out and you're going to vote. You're going to register people to vote. You're going to make sure your friends and family are registered to vote. And this November, we are going to take back Congress. We're going to take back the House of Representatives, and we're going to win back the Senate. And then we're going to finally get the oversight we need, and we're finally going to get this country back on the tracks to where we need to go. So we're going to do it this year. This is our year to do it. If you need to figure out if you've registered to vote, all you need to go is to vote.org and figure out if you're registered to vote. And if you're not registered to vote, get signed up. And then go visit places like Swing Left and Indivisible. Figure out where your local DNC office is. Figure out how you can get involved. And let's be the change this year. And with that, I will talk to you later in this week. And remember, guys, be the change. We'll be right back.